We declare, because the Spirit of God is here, our lives will be changed. Open our minds, God, to hear and to see the Word of God in a fresh and in a new way. We give you praise because of our faith mixed with the Word. This Word tonight will profit us. If you're in agreement with it, shout amen. Amen. All right, Isaiah 58, verse 11. We're going to continue our series entitled Intimacy, Walking with God. Intimacy, Walking with God. Say it with me, intimacy, walking with God. Say, Father, I give you glory that at this stage of my life, I understand everything you're doing is to strengthen my walk with you. I'm excited about a closer walk with you. I give you praise that intimacy will cause me to experience increase uncommon. That's my word for this year, and I believe it so. All right, glory to God. Strengthening our walk with the Lord. Isaiah 58:11, the Bible says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually as he is doing this. That's the condition. I will then satisfy your soul in drought, make fat your bones, which means to make you stronger, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You may be seated. I'm still teaching part four, connection and causation of tranquility. We talked about that Sunday, connection and causation of tranquility. I'm going to talk about something very, very, very important tonight. It's so important that you follow me in the scriptures and that you follow the teaching, because wrong thinking can interfere with what God is wanting to do in your life. And I don't want you to just hear words, hear terms, hear promises, and assume you got it. I want to make sure you understand it. Everybody say, I understand it. Come on, declare it again. Say, I need to understand this. All right, we talked about Sunday several things about intimacy. It means closeness, communion, conversing, connection, causation. There's a difference between fellowship and relationship. Nothing is wrong with fellowship unless relationship is absent. We got to have a relationship with God in order to properly have fellowship one with another. A good amen should have went right there. If we are not walking in relationship with God, it's hard and difficult to maintain proper fellowship with each other. We said that it's important that we understand that when we're walking with God, it will cause us to have peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. Say it again, peace. Peace. And we said the peace of God ain't like the world's peace. You remember that? We said that worldly peace will still allow you to get upset, anxiety all over the place. But the peace of God takes authority over self-allowance. Said you'll be placid, even-tempered, unflappable. Tell your neighbor, I'm unflappable. That means the peace of God has created in your life some stability. That means it's hard to throw you around because you have fixated yourself in the peace of God. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes stuff gonna come up? But have you ever had something to come up while you was overwhelmed by the peace of God? It don't mean you didn't know it. It doesn't mean you didn't see it. It doesn't mean you lack knowledge of it. But what's on you, glory to God, is greater than what has come up against you. Amen. Everybody say placid. All right, so we said we must allow God, when we're walking with God, this is what's so powerful. When we're walking with God, God is able to speak a word to us to help us maintain peace. And we got to embrace that word, not necessarily our emotion. Whether you're feeling fear, whether you're feeling frustration, whether you're feeling abandonment, when we walk with God, we got to embrace God's word over that emotion. Amen. You may feel like the clock is ticking, but if God spoke a word, you got to embrace that word over that emotion. Lift your hand and say, Father, I choose to embrace your word over my emotion. So never stop at your emotions, because if you're not careful, Psalms 94:19, we read that, your emotions will cause your thoughts to be running rapid. But he said, when I can embrace the word of God in the multitude of my thoughts, God, you gave me a word to comfort my soul. Won't he give you a word to comfort your soul? Hallelujah. Yes, he will. But that comes when we have a walk with the Lord, when we're walking in relationship and in fellowship with God. Sometimes in our walk with God, it's not necessarily painting the picture of our feet moving. Sometimes walking with God is just getting before him in his presence, cutting your music off in your car, sitting on your front porch or in your favorite recliner, and I'm not going to listen to nothing. I'm cutting my phone off. That's walking with God too. Remember, we said the Chinese proverb says this, that if I'm still routinely before God, the broken thing becomes whole. If I stay in the presence of God, walking with him, communing with him, having an intimate walk with him, God knows how to bring healing to our most broken areas. Everything don't happen at the altar. Everything don't happen in high praise. Some things happen in the most stillest moments before the Lord. Hallelujah. Raise your hand, and you don't have to you don't have to agree to this if you never experienced it, but raise your hand if you ever had God minister to you deeply when you was in a still moment with him. Amen. Now this is what you got to understand tonight. God don't just want to do that when you overwhelmed. God don't just want to do that when you in deep trouble. Tell your neighbor, say, he wants to do it every day. Amen. God wants to speak to your heart every day. And we said that brings us to what is called the covenant of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. All right. He has bound himself to keep me in peace, glory to God, as long as I keep my mind stayed on him. Now, he made it easy for me, I believe. I believe he made it easy for us, because all we got to do is maintain a mindset of worship and meditation. He said, and I'll keep you in peace. Glory to God. He didn't say nothing about your prescription got filled. He didn't say that after you had a little more Grey Goose. He said, no, I'm going to keep you in peace because you choose, watch this, to meditate on me. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, whenever you have to make a lot of decisions in a given day, whenever you're in a season where there's a whole lot pulling on you, I'm telling you, the difference in a season can be your meditation. It can be the difference between a hellish season and a season you coast through a storm. Amen. Everybody say, I got to keep my mind stayed on him. All right, let's look at this tonight. All right, I want you to write this down. Intimacy is maximized through righteousness. Intimacy, this walk with God we're talking about, is maximized through righteousness, which creates peace. Intimacy is maximized through righteousness, which creates peace. Okay? That's the pillar of what we're talking about tonight. And it's going to bless your life. Give that back to me. What was the statement I want you to write down? Uh-huh. Okay, it's maximized through what? And what does righteousness create? Okay, now this is something we need to write down tonight that's important, because after sharing the word with you Sunday, God dealt with my heart that a lot of people are wrestling with having the faith to live a life in peace. And some of it is because there's a lot of wrong information being preached to you and hollered at you, and religion has kind of interfered with what God said. Don't you know religion will change the word of God over time? And if you're not careful, religion will have you believing what it believes, not what God said. All right? So write this down. The peace of God is never present. The peace of God is never present when peace with God is absent. See, a lot of people are living beneath their covenant promise because they don't have the peace of God. And so there are more days where things are overwhelming and there's so much animosity and so much turmoil. And they're saying, you know, this can't be what salvation is all for. And then they look at somebody else who don't have nearly the things that they have, but they enjoy their every day. Yeah, and we're wondering, what's the difference? They have the peace of God. And I've discovered in this study that the peace of God you will never have until you have peace with God. Let me prove it to you. Go to 1 Samuel 16. We need peace with God in order to enjoy the peace of God. Don't that make sense? Yeah. And how many know you can have peace with man and not have peace with God? But I want you to have peace with God. Everybody say peace with God. Because if peace with God is present, then I don't have to worry about the peace of God being absent. Watch this. 1 Samuel 16, this is powerful. Verse 14 says, but when the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, everybody say it departed him. The Bible says an evil spirit came, all right, from the Lord to trouble him. Notice now, the Spirit of God and an evil spirit both couldn't share presence. Oh, that's powerful. All right. When the Spirit of God left, the evil spirit came. But it couldn't come until the Spirit of God left. Verse 15, it says, Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles thee. So everybody say, Saul no longer had peace with God. Now, because he didn't have peace with God, we see evident in Scripture, he didn't have the peace of God. Now, I'm telling you, I don't care. You can wear the best of the best. You can have the best of the best. But life is so unfulfilling when you don't have peace with God. I should have had some more feedback right there. I said you can have the best of the best, live the best of it, eat the best of the best, drive the best of the best, live in the best of the best. But if you don't have peace with God, life will not be fulfilling. So don't let the devil fool you to make you believe that your life can be in peace if you had 100 grand. Because you can have all these new amenities to your life. You can get the position you was dreaming of. You can have the team of your dreams. But if you don't have peace with God, your life will not be fulfilling. Okay, so the Bible says he was troubled. Everybody say he was troubled. Because he no longer had peace with God. Verse 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, then David took the harp and played with his hand. Now we know David was just anointed in the same chapter. The oil poured upon him, okay? So David has peace with God. God said, this is the one. The oil of the anointing is on his life. So now, because he has peace with God, when David plays, we see the manifestation of the peace of God. Because David had peace with God, when he ministered, there was an atmosphere produced complementary of the peace of God. So Saul could only have peace as long as David was playing. Why? Because you can't have the peace of God if you don't have peace with God. Oh, wow. Let's add to it. This brings us to what was called in scriptures, write this down, peace offerings. Peace offerings. Now, peace offerings was a part of an Old Testament practice that said every so often we had to give what was called a peace offering, hear this, in order to be accepted by God. We had to give a peace offering in order to be accepted or have peace with God. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. And see, you say, oh, wow. See, you're going to see it in just a moment. I want you to have an understanding because we're slowly backing into what it means to be righteous and how to become righteous and how to live righteous, because that's where your peace is. Yes. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, as your man of God, I know more than sufficient time before God, 30-some scriptures I didn't even include tonight, summarized it in a way, because I'm passionate about you living in the peace of God. Hallelujah. Regardless of what your bank account says right now, You have a right to live in the peace of God. Regardless of what your employer is suggesting right now, you have a right to live in the peace of God. Regardless of what's going on in your children, in your house, in your parents, across town, in your neighborhood, you have a right to live in the peace of God. Look down your road and say, I'm going to live in the peace of God. Glory to God. In other words, I refuse to have this worldly kind of peace where I'm only happy when things are going my way. I'm going to live in the peace of God, which means I got to have peace with God. All right? Watch this now. Leviticus 19, so they had these peace offerings. Look at Leviticus 19, verse 5. I want us to read it together. Leviticus 19, verse number 5. Leviticus 19, 5. Okay, ready? Let's read. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it. You shall offer it at your own will. Okay? Look what the Amplified says. Let's read out the Amplified. Verse 5. Are you ready? Read. Whoa! What did it say? Why are you offering it? Why are you offering it? So in order for you and I, old covenant, to have peace with God, there had to be a peace offering. Things get complicated. Go to chapter 22, same book, verse 21. And see, people are trying to make you feel like you got to give a peace offering today. I'm going somewhere. Religion will make you feel like you still got to give a peace offering through deeds. You need to go do something. Because, see, you know what you done did. You got, in order for this to be right, you got to go. And so you're trying to make up through works. Because you're still operating on a law-based mindset. Look at Leviticus 22. Watch this. Verse 21. Okay. Are you there? Leviticus 22, verse 21. Let me know when you're there. Shout peace when you see it. All right. Read it. Let's read. Herd or from the flock. Now you can read through it. He disqualifies so many other kinds of animals that he said if anything is wrong with it, it's not sufficient for you to have peace with God. It had to be a perfect animal. Strong, couldn't be feeble, couldn't have no spots or blemish. He said, so when you offer this, it has to be a perfect animal in order for you to be accepted. So regardless of what you have done, until you give a peace offering, you're not accepted and you don't have peace with God. So your peace of God is on hold till this one time of the year where you're supposed to give a peace offering. It's also known as the Day of Atonement, where at one moment everybody had to wait in order for their sins to be addressed and they could be accepted or have peace with God. Here's where things get tricky. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. So the next time anybody try to tell you that there's something you got to do for man or there's something you got to do in works in order to have peace, you're able to rebuke that and say, no, that's the law. You see why it's so important that you don't just get hollered at, oh, he died every Sunday? Because this kind of thinking makes peaceful salvation impossible. You feel like living for God is a job. No. And people will make you think you got to do all these works in order to be accepted by God and even accepted by them. But look what the Bible says. So he says it has to be perfect, without spot, with blemish, without blemish. Hebrews 10, look at verse number 14, if you will, Amplified. Are you ready? All right, read. Offering, he has forever. Wait, we just said now, every individual had to bring their own perfect animal to present a peace offering. But the Bible says, for by a what kind of offering? Oh, y'all didn't say that with power. I said, what kind of offering? So the Bible says, by a single offering, capital H, he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Let me continue to read. I'm just blown away by your enthusiasm. Verse 15 says, and also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to who? Touch your neighbor and say, he added his testimony to me. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm included in this testimony. Oh, glory to God. Having this confirmation, for having said, this is the agreement. This is the testament. This is the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will imprint my law upon their hearts. I will inscribe them upon their minds, on their innermost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breaking, I will remember no more. So when he presented himself as not a offering, but the offering, everything wrong you have done and will do has already been addressed. Oh, that traditional mind is suffocating under this anointing. He goes on to say, watch this, verse 18. Now where there is, and I love this word, absolute remission. You know what remission is, don't you? You know somebody have cancer? And then their cancer goes in remission? You know, it's sending it back. He said, when there's absolute remission, forgiveness, hear this, and the what? Oh, come on, I'm trying to help you understand why you got a right to peace. Okay, he says, watch this now. The forgiveness and the what? Of the penalty of these sins and lawbreaking, there is now no longer any offering made to atone sin. So Jesus addressed, let me help you, all your sins and mine. Y'all ain't saying nothing. When he went to that cross as the offering, he said, we don't need no more goats, no more turtle doves, no more lambs, no more rams. Come on, there was one sacrifice. You ought to touch yourself and say, Father, I thank you that my penalties have been completely canceled. Now, I'm not saying that to promote the idea that you can just do anything. I'm trying to help you understand, based on scripture, how and why you have a right to peace. Because, see, as long as you're still basing this on your works, you're going to always practice the self-allowance of condemnation. It's going to be hard for you to think, I have to, oh, I just don't know. So I need to repent again. I still remember that. Oh, I still, every time I see them, I think about this and all this. No. He said he canceled the penalty and he took away the sin by a single offering. Now write this down. The peace with God. Now we're moving on. Okay. So we no longer have the practice of peace offerings because he was the offering. Hallelujah. He created for us absolute remission. Oh, thank you, Father. So the next time the enemy tries to bring something in your head, we talked about that Sunday, he'll bring things in your mind that you need the peace of God to help you throw out your mind. The next time he tries to bring a thought or a feeling of condemnation, you quote this word. That based upon Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, I have received the absolute remission and the cancellation of the penalty of all my sins. I'm trying to show you how to have peace with God. See, you got to have some word to fight against those thoughts and feelings that are not of God. You need more than a popsicle. You need a scripture, come on, talk to me, that will rebuke and address
the enemy's temptation to make you feel as though you can't have peace. You see, what knowledge is half the battle? You can't believe what you don't know. Now write this down. The peace with God works by faith. Peace with God works by faith. Peace with God works by faith. Peace with God, how does it work? Come on, peace with God works how? Okay, the peace of God works by faith for those who believe in righteousness. It works for those who believe in righteousness by justification. Again, peace with God works by faith for those who believe in righteousness by justification. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So see, I have to choose to believe, hallelujah, that I was made righteous by justification. Everybody say, I got to choose to believe that. See, I got to understand, I don't care who knew what you did. I'm coming down your road. I don't care who knew you before salvation. You don't owe them nothing. I don't care who was in the courtroom. I don't care who was on the porch. I don't care who was in the club. I don't care who watched it go down. You don't owe them nothing. Watch this, because you choose to believe, glory to God, that your right standing was based on justification. Let me help you, not your works. So I ain't working for peace. I choose to believe I have peace. Because see, when you start talking about relationship with God, let me tell you why we're addressing. When you start teaching people how to have an intimate relationship with God, and you're using the word of God to frame this thinking, which is what we should do, then the enemy will work overboard through people or through your own pre-salvation conscience to make you believe this is impossible for you. That's what he does. He wants you to think that this scripture is talking to everybody else but you. I'm going to talk about that Sunday. Amen. But amen, glory to God. You've got to choose to believe that you were made righteous because you believe in the justification power of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, King James says, therefore, being justified by faith. He said, being, not have been. Tell your neighbor, I'm still being justified. Tell somebody else, I'm still being justified. Amen. What does that mean? There's still some things that you do sometimes that needs grace and mercy. Hallelujah. We are not of those who believe religiously that we have arrived. No need to pretend here. He said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not of God, with God. We have peace with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, amplified. Therefore, since we are justified. See, stop, see, do you see? Do you pick up on the attitude in Paul's writing? You see, when you get this in your spirit, it's not no, well, I am. Oh, good. Thank you for that word. Thank you for prophesying that to me. No, we are justified. Touch your chest and look at your neighbor and say, I am justified. Tell them that's not what I believe. Tell them that's what I know. And especially when things don't go right. If you don't get the job, if something break at your house, if something happened with your child, the first thing the devil does is tries to attach a circumstance to some kind of condemning former behavior. I'm all in your business. But the next time he does that, touch yourself and say, I am. I'm trying to show you how to maintain peace. Hallelujah. So if the car broke down, it broke down because it needed a part. Not because of what you did in 88. Because you are, y'all a good class tonight. Say again, I'm justified.
I'm justified.
What does that mean? Amplified says, acquitted. Hear these next two words. Declared righteous. To be justified means, hear this, declare means to announce, decree means to order. Okay? So that's why we decree and we declare. We order things, then we publicly announce it. All right? He said, watch this, you were declared. Do you know what this means? This means somewhere. Rather, you may have not witnessed it, but somewhere and somehow, at some point in your walk with God, God has actually vocalized your name as his righteousness. See, he's the only one that does the declaring. Ooh, I'm trying to help us tonight. At some point, God, for this to be true, God has had to say your name and say, you are his righteousness. He declared it. He's made it known in the heavens, the earth, and under the earth that you are declared righteous. So lift your hands and say, Father, I set myself in agreement with what you have said regarding me. I have been declared righteous. Woo! Hey, hallelujah. He's digging up some stuff out your subconscious, even while this word is going forth. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Images of yourself, repeating moments of your past, some of your most traumatizing moments. God is visiting it right now as you are being reminded that you've been declared righteous. When he said declared righteous, what does he mean? He says you were given a what kind of standing? What kind of standing? A right standing with God. But how did you get it? Through what?
Faith.
Through what?
Faith.
He says, so watch this. So let us grasp the fact. Woo-hoo. Why did he say grasp the fact? He said, because you ain't going to receive this initially. Old folk used to say this. You got to chew on it a little bit. Oh, my great-grandma said, just like a cow could hold food in his mouth for 6 hours, chew on this side. Chewing on it, then digest it. He said, that's how you need to chew on this. Hallelujah. That you have right standing with God through your faith. He said, so now you have peace, the peace of reconciliation to hold on to and enjoy because of justification, which gave you righteous, right standing by faith. You now have peace with God. See, you can live in the peace of God when you have a good scriptural understanding of how you obtain peace with God. See, a lot of people don't have peace in their life because they are still trying to make their peace with God based on their works and not based on their faith. So we say the peace of God works by faith for those who believe in righteousness by justification. So you say, what is justification? Write this down. Justification is God's unconditional eraser. Y'all didn't know God had an eraser, did you? It's God's unconditional eraser used to absolve guilt. Whenever God justifies something, he erases things just as if it never happened, causing the victim in the moment to no longer have guilt. You don't believe me? Read up to the verse right before it. Romans 4:25, amplified. Romans 4:25 says, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, which is our acquittal. Look what it says. Making our account balance what? and absolving us from all. I no longer have to feel guilty. Hallelujah. Because of justification. Now, Romans 4, let's look at verse number 3. Give me 10 minutes. Romans 4, look at verse number 3. I want you to read this in the Amplified. Romans 4, verse number 3. You know, it's a lot of people in church that don't understand justification and righteousness. And I'm telling you, they don't have peace because of wrong thinking. And we can be hollered to, we can shout, we can be prophesied to, but this is one of those fundamental elements of Christianity that you got to know. It's like you're not going to graduate from high school and go on and go to college academically and you can't read. You got to learn how to read. You got to make sure you know how justification and righteousness works. You got to know this. You need to be familiar with it. That's why I'm teaching. That's why I said this is so important. Or else you'll still fall back into peace with God based on works. And it's a law-based thinking that's designed to cause you to keep falling back into condemnation and guilt and failure. But it's not based on works. It's based on your faith. Look what the Bible says. Read it. Let's read. For what does... What is righteousness? What is righteousness? How did he get it? He believed. Not his works. He believed. How are you made righteous? Not your works. Your belief. Can we go deeper? It's not just belief. Is when I choose to believe who he is. Not just who I am in him. Because there are times, let's be honest, when you don't feel righteous. I'm too real tonight. There are times you don't feel like you got no right standing with God. You ain't prayed in 2 days. You done said a couple of cuss words. You done had some thoughts. And you don't feel righteous. But it's not the belief in who you are. It's the belief in who he is. Come on, talk to me. Abraham was a mess. He lied and said his wife was his sister. He got his handmaid pregnant. It was only supposed to be Isaac, not Ishmael first. But the Bible says in spite of who he was, because he believed in him. See, that's where religion loses its hope, because it levels the playing field. Whether you ain't never did nothing wrong or you ain't done nothing but wrong, it ain't based on who we are. It's our belief in. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I know I got a jacked up past. Tell him, but I choose to believe him and tell him I'm righteous. I'm in right standing. I have a right relationship. Because who I believe in. Look down your row and say it's because of who I believe in. So righteousness which brings peace. Righteousness which brings peace is based upon what I choose to believe about him, not myself. You'll always struggle to envision having peace with God when your righteousness is based solely on self. It has to be based on your belief in him, not your belief about yourself. Even when your belief about yourself is in question, your belief about him is solid. So how do you maintain this righteousness? Write this word down, repentance. So we've been declared righteous. That's settled. But in order for me to maintain this right standing, individually, I have to practice repentance. And repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. See, that's remorse. It's not enough to feel bad about it. Religion wants us to believe that remorse and repentance is the same, but it's not. Remorse won't help you sustain righteousness and right standing. Repentance will. So I'm not just going to ask for forgiveness because I feel bad about it. With the asking of forgiveness, there has to be a change in my mind and in my attitude about that thing. When Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more, he wasn't saying don't ever commit another sin. He said, change the way you feel and see what you just did. Oh, that's mind renewing. Go to Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to stop. I don't want to overfeed you tonight. Mark chapter 1. Jesus, Mark chapter 1. I wanted to get through with this lesson, and I'm not. Mark 1, verse 15. Yeah, man. And so that's why people can say stuff you used to do. Girl, you remember when you did this? Man, you remember you did that? You can laugh at it. Because it has nothing to do with my right standing. You ain't got to get defensive. Man, I'm born again. What you doing saying that? You know I'm born again. What you talking about? Just like the devil. Want to laugh at it? Girl, yeah, that was so crazy, wasn't it? Thank God I've been redeemed. Bro, you sure right. But I'm so glad I've been justified by faith. I'm so glad my penalties have been canceled. Bring on my past again. See, that's somebody that don't have an understanding. That ain't a reflection of you. See, that was one offering made to erase all. That ain't even who you are anymore. So why am I getting defensive about who I'm not? Only the hit dog barks. Look down your road and say, I've been justified and declared righteous. And I have peace with God. And it feels good. Y'all put that sanctified head shake on it. A sanctified head shake. Hey, make sure it's pulled down so it don't come off. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, Mark 1:15. Y'all pray for me. I need help. Pray for me. I need help. Pray for me. Keep me lifted. Keep me lifted. Mark 1:15. Watch this in the Amplified. Watch it in the Amplified. The Bible says, in saying, the appointed period of time is fulfilled and completed, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Have a change of mind, which issues in regret for past sins, and in change of conduct for the better. Notice now he says, when you repent, you have a change in mind. All right? Concerning issues of regret from your past. So you know what I've discovered? We really have not fully experienced the power of repentance. Because when you have really repented and you understand the power and the provisions that come from repentance, you no longer have remorse about the past. And see, people will try to make you, in their own ignorance and control, feel bad about your past, but no remorse. Hey, man, touch your heart and say, I choose to be good concerning those things that the Father has justified me from. Go ahead and speak by faith. Say, I'm good. No remorse. Woo. Oh, Lord. God is ministering to somebody tonight. And he goes on to say, watch this, a change of mind, which issues in regret for past sins, and a change in conduct for the better. Write this down. Repentance. Peace follows repentance. Peace follows repentance. When there's a true repentance, peace follows repentance. Why does peace come? Because of my commitment to better conduct. You see what he said? He said, don't just change in mind. He said, also change of conduct for the better. I got to commit to better conduct. Glory to God. Commit to better conduct. See, it's so powerful because, see, God knows your intent. Don't worry about people. God knows your intent. He knows your efforts. So we nullify justification's purpose when we fail to follow repentance with improved conduct. Last scripture. He says again, right there. He says, let's finish up verse 15. Put it back up, amplify it. Mark 1 and 15. Change of mind with issues and regret for past sins and in a change of conduct for the better, and believe, trust in, rely on, and adhere to the good news of the gospel. Everybody say, I must believe in the gospel. So what is the gospel to someone who's trying to have peace based on a righteousness that works by faith? Go to Romans chapter 4. We'll stop here for tonight. What's the gospel? I'm trying to have peace. I'm wrestling with this idea that I got to still complete these works. And I understand you showed me that Abraham was declared righteous because he believed in who God was, not solely in who he was alone. And so I understand this righteousness, which brings about this peace, is done by faith. But if I'm wrestling with that, Pastor, what is the gospel to someone who's wrestled with righteousness by works all their life? What is the gospel to that person who has been raised to even believe that I'm only made righteous by my works? What's the gospel to them? Because you said, if I change of heart and commit to better conduct, believing, trusting, and relying on the gospel. Romans 4, let's look at it, verse number 6, amplified. And I promise you, I'm stopping right here. Your heart should feel lighter tonight. And as you meditate on these teachings, you got your outline, you got your notes. As you meditate on it, watch and see how the peace with God even changes your mood about your own life and this present season. See, when you have peace with God, it changes the way you look at your present season. Watch, meditate on it and see what happens. You know, meditate means chew on it, switch it. Don't just look at them notes and go, oh, my show on. No, spend time in the notes. Get it in your spirit. Wrong believing will mess this up. And you can't witness to nobody. How you going to help somebody else who's wrestling with religious condemnation? All you going to do is pray and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. They need more than that. They need an understanding. Oh, I'm going to pray for you, God. I'm going to pray for your dog. No, let me know when you can get together. I want to show you some scriptures. And if you put your mindset on these scriptures, you're going to feel better. I got a high for you. And you don't need a lighter, dog. You don't need no lighter. You just need one of these. It'll take you places. Romans 4 and 6, amplified. Thus David congratulates the man. Touch yourself and say, I'm that man. The Bible says, thus David congratulates the man. Touch yourself and say, I'm that man. He congratulates the man and pronounces a blessing on him or her to whom God credits righteousness. Watch this. Apart from the works they've done. God pronounces a blessing on you when you choose to believe by faith that you were made righteous and your works had nothing to do with it. In that moment, God pronounces a blessing over you. Not because of nothing you did or didn't do, but because of what you chose to believe. He said, apart from works. Now, verse 7, here's the gospel. Blessed and happy and to be envied are those whose iniquities are what? And whose sins are? And what? You're talking about the gospel. See, you can have peace with God when you understand the things the devil tries to bring back up in your heart and mind, they have been completely buried. Oh, God. You know what Jesus said? He said, put down the stones. He without sin, the old folk left first. The old folks should have been shouting right there because you done lived longer and have done more wrong. Yeah. You should be the main one up. We shall be sending you down right now. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, again, your iniquities have been forgiven and your sins covered up and completely buried, and your works had nothing to do with it. Wow. It was apart from your works. Next verse, last one, verse 8. Blessed and happy to be envied is the person whose sin the Lord will take no account nor reckon it against them. You know what God said? I know what happened. I know you missed it. I know. But not only am I going to forgive you, but I'm also going to give you a pass on the consequence. There are times when justification does remove the guilt but doesn't remove the consequence. But he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute. Takes no account nor reckon his sins against him. When you start meditating on scriptures like this, you'll understand your peace with God has nothing to do with your religious works or your worldly deeds. It has all to do with faith. So I'm closing with this last statement, excuse me. Peace with God, which comes from righteousness, will stay with you as long as you stay in faith. Peace with God, which comes from righteousness, will stay with you as long as you stay in faith. Let's declare it together as we stand. There shall be peace in my life. Come on, declare it again. There shall be peace in my life. Standing all over the building, Father, I thank you so much for what you have allowed us to see in your word tonight. God, I understand that this teaching has to battle and had to battle through, in some instance, religion, through some instance, ignorance, through some instance, condemnation. But I thank you because the word is like a two-edged sword, God. It has penetrating power. And I give you praise, God, that what we've heard and received tonight will fall and has fallen on good ground. Lift your hands and declare, Father, I receive the promise of your word tonight. God, I thank you that I believe that you have used your own mouth to declare me righteous. I stand in faith that my righteousness was apart from my works. And because of that, I have peace with you. God, I thank you tonight that you're not mad at me. You love me. What you ask from me is sincere repentance, when necessary, and a commitment to better conduct. I thank you tonight. My mind has been renewed. My heart has been refreshed. What I've learned tonight makes me want to have a closer walk with the person who has completely buried all of my sins, with the person who was the only offering that attained me and atoned me. Lord, I thank you. This closer walk with you causes for me to have peace with you. Now, because I have peace with God, which is internal, no matter where I go, no matter what I'm in, no matter who's around me, no matter what's right, no matter what's wrong, peace with God within produces peace of God without. God, I thank you that I've done my job.
I've sown your word into the hearts of your people. I declare, I decree, order it, and I declare it publicly that our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God praise for the word. Our announcements are coming. Following our announcements, you are free to be dismissed.